Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
And now, Carly and Dan will exchange their own poorly written vows, which Carly slaved over and Dan mimicked.
Dan, you're the best I could do. You're a horrible, sloppy lover. You fart a lot. You fart when it's just you and my mom in the kitchen, and then you blame her. I could have done better than you, but I waited too long to get married. Now, I'm forced to settle so I don't end up alone like my Aunt Marcy. Dan, more than anything, I want you to know that right now is the thinnest I'll ever be.
Carly, you're the best that I could do. You aren't that bright. You say everything is amazing because you were too dumb to come up with any other adjectives. You say it about 40 times a day. This morning you said that the driveway looked amazing.
It did.
It was at that very moment that I realized that we're gonna have dumb children. But you haven't slept with many people, and I'm afraid if I wait any longer, I'm gonna marry a real skank. Also, you have a house on the shore. A house where I can go with my friends. A house my friends and I can bring strippers to.
Oh, man. It's true, buddy.
You may now kiss the bride with no tongue, but with enough passion to mask the fact that neither of you thought it would go this far.
Gross.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, January 31st, 2022. 283 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it, and the Schnucks panic aisle is officially open. It is fascinating to watch social media and see that popping up all sorts of places. It really has become part of the St. Louis area lexicon, let's put it that way. So we'll get to the weather forecast and what I know at this point at 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday with a storm that is due to hit in about 36 hours, so we'll do that in a minute. I don't hear anybody complaining about the accuracy of the weather forecasts in the Northeast. What they said was going to happen, well, it happened exactly as they predicted, right down to the inches of snow and the timeline and everything. Northeast digging out of 2 feet of snow in the blizzard. A lot of places had hurricane-force winds. Some areas around Cape Cod, 80-mile-an-hour winds. Boston, 23.6 inches of snow on Saturday. That ties the record from 2003 for the most snow in a single day, and they've been keeping those records since 1892. Atlantic City crushed its record for the most snow in the month of January, over 33 inches. That's up from 20.3, so they busted that record by 13 inches. It was also the snowiest January 29th on record for Philadelphia and for New York City by a long shot. Central Park got 7.5 inches of snow in one day, beating out the old record of 4.3. Luckily, some of that snow should melt as temperatures rise later in the week. Now, as far as we're concerned, oh, and by the way, Chris Higgins does a wonderful job, you know, in the absence of Dave Murray. And Dave still is quite active in the St. Louis area. He does a couple of radio stations, no more television. He doesn't want to do TV anymore, and I understand that. So he does a couple of radio stations, and he'll pop up with us here on the air from time to time just as a courtesy. But he has like a contract where he actually earns cold, hard American cash. Imagine that. So he's still doing that, and then posts a lot of stuff on social media, on Facebook and stuff. So in Dave's absence, Chris Higgins has done a wonderful job on Fox 2. And Chris, by the way, is a really cool guy. You know, military background and everything. He was providing weather forecasts for the Middle East. You know, he was over there for a couple of years. And like I said, he's been in the military, United States military reserves, for a lot of years. And he's a really, really dedicated scientist. Cool guy. You know, not one of these guys who goes on television and, you know, cracks eggs on his head and stuff like that. an ode to Zipra Zipra. And I know that's sports and this is weather. I'm confusing my criticisms here. But in any event, Chris goes on social media over the weekend, I believe, yeah, it was Saturday morning. Saturday morning, and just basically says, all right, look, here's the deal. We have a system here, and let's, you know, present the caveat that it's still, at that point, 4 or 5 days away. So there's a lot of things we can't possibly pin down. You see, people in this country want everything to be exact, and they want everything immediate. And the problem is that weather is not an exact science. We've talked about this before. It's not an exact science. You're doing the best you can with the available technology that we have at this time. But even with all of that, especially when it comes to predicting snow, and especially when it comes to predicting snow in the Midwest, it's not an easy thing to do. And so sometimes it's just a lot better idea, and the smart meteorologists do this, it's just a better idea to say, look, we are presenting to you what we know right now. The conditions, as we see them 4 or 5 days out, appear to present a scenario where somebody in and around the St. Louis area is going to get clobbered. That's what we know right now. This storm is out over the Pacific Northwest right now. This is, I'm talking about Saturday. Okay, it's out over the Pacific Northwest. It hasn't even done that swing. It hasn't even come across the Rockies, where it has to sort of reorganize because the Rockies chew up weather systems. And then it sort of reorganizes. And at that point, that's when you can get some idea about when and where and how and all that sort of stuff. And we're not even close to that. And even presenting the information that he had on Saturday in vague terms, just as I described, there were still people attacking him. And yes, I'm using the word attack because that's what they are. They're attacks on his character, on his existence. I was going to write this guy's name down, and now I can't find it. I think it's in here somewhere, but I can't find it. It's probably just as well. But it was a guy from Sullivan, Missouri. And he immediately just starts picking apart the very idea that a weather forecaster would sit there and say anything. Yeah, it's all going to be wrong. I bet you we get nothing. You know, those guys. And again, this, as the prognostications were almost to the letter in the Northeast with that nor'easter. And don't get me wrong. You know, I watch what's going on, and sometimes the weather forecast is completely wrong, and you laugh and you go, well, they didn't get that one right. So what? Like I said, they're doing the best with what we have right now in terms of technology. And weather is not an exact science. I know I keep saying that. I'm going to keep saying it until somebody fucking understands it. And the people doing all the yakking, by the way, have absolutely no background in meteorology whatsoever. They're just contrarians. And they're just walking around being assholes. And some people just enjoy life better that way, just walking around being an asshole. Like the Republicans who are already saying they're going to vote no on Biden's Supreme Court nomination before they even know who the nominee is. Those kind of guys, you know, people who start criticizing a movie that they haven't seen. All right, we'll probably talk about weather again here in just a little while. Obviously, we're going to be talking about it a lot tomorrow and then especially on Wednesday, because the timeline of this thing appears to be rain tomorrow and then really, really significantly falling temperatures during the day. And sometime late at night, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, is when the switchover will take place. And when that switchover takes place is going to have a lot to do with how much snow you get at your house. We'll talk more about that later. But then on Wednesday, you wake up on Wednesday morning and it's going to be snowing like a motherfucker. And it'll snow pretty much all day. And then the temperatures drop down to out of the teens. And then the next night down around near zero. When the whole thing is over, it doesn't look like it's going to be, I guess you would say, less than 4 inches. In other words, it looks like pretty much everybody is guaranteed to get four. And then there are some forecasts where the computer just takes over. There's no human interaction. It's just a computer spitting out data based on, you know, previous forecasts and history of the region and stuff like that. And that's where you start getting into these weather forecasts that are indicating the St. Louis could get, let me get this, 18 to 24 inches. And it appears that somebody across the region, somewhere between Oklahoma City and Detroit, somebody, just like a diagonal line like that, somebody is going to probably get about a foot and a half, maybe even more than that, of snow. But we just don't know if that's going to be us. The other huge story is the Super Bowl, but almost overshadowing that is this Tom Brady story. But we think we have it figured out here this morning. And I'm sitting in Tampa right now, and I've been watching all of the local reports, and these reporters are practically scaling Tom and Giselle's house down there on the water just south of downtown Tampa. And here's what we think happened. Tom Brady is going to retire, but he is not in a position to make the formal announcement yet because on Friday, he's due to get a $15 million bonus. But if he retires before that, he doesn't get the 15 mil. So somebody somewhere along the line got the story right. They rooted it out, or, you know, maybe they told somebody and somebody repeated it, whatever. And so a couple of, you know, big name reporters, I mean, these are not hacks. I mean, these are guys and women for the most part who have a really solid history in, you know, sports journalism. And they rooted this thing out. So now Tom Brady's trying to backtrack going, hey, there's $15 million on the line here, and I ain't going to make this announcement until Friday, otherwise I don't get the money. So on Friday, or sometime soon after, we can expect the announcement, and Tom Brady is going to retire, and that will also probably mean the end of Gronkowski 2. Oop, there's my ride. No. it'll mean Gronkowski 2, and that'll be the end of Tampa for a couple of years. They're going to have to trade for a quarterback because they don't have anybody. Somebody is going to get picked up from somewhere. Okay, so I think for a lot of people, you went 50-50 yesterday. I think a lot of people were pulling for Cincinnati because, you know, they haven't won anything in 31 years. And even though with the departure of the Rams from St. Louis, a lot of people have adopted the Chiefs as their team, there were still a lot of people pulling for Cincinnati, as I was. So we got that, and that's a great story. And the 49ers almost pulled it out, obviously, as you know, over the Rams. So we got half of what we wanted. But let me tell you something. The Rams know this morning that they were in a football game yesterday because San Francisco almost did it. Gosh, they almost did it. My phone is going off like crazy this morning with messages and stuff. What is going on? TikTok privacy settings are going to change. All right, we got that. What is all this other noise coming in? Oh, it's weather alerts. Oh, okay. So that's started now. All right, so that alarm may go off a couple of more times before we're done here today. By the way, the Vegas odds makers have already installed the Rams as 3.5-point favorites in the Super Bowl against Cincinnati. Yeah, here's one forecast. I got to put on my glasses to see this one. All right, one forecast from the National Weather Service has St. Louis getting 9.1 inches of snow. And then there is a severe drop-off to the point where if you're in the very, very far southern extremes of Jefferson County, you will see maybe an inch. And then you go south of that, like into Perry County and stuff like that, and there's going to be nothing. So I know I'm hopping around here from weather back to sports and everything, but this stuff is now starting to pop up all over the place. Then you get this douchebag Walker Hayes, this guy with this dopey song, this dopey country song about the Applebee's menu. So now he's performing at halftime of the Chiefs-Bengals game, and it was so loud that the CBS reporters, the analysts doing the halftime stuff, were drowned out. You couldn't even understand what they were saying. Somebody's going to get fired at the network. Oh, no, the Rams game, it's like, you know, to sing the national anthem. And you're like, you're in Los Angeles, the center of the entire entertainment universe. Los Angeles, California. Hollywood, right? Okay, and you got this big, big game with millions and millions of people watching, and the best they're able to bring out for the singing the national anthem before the game is Brandy? This is 1991? Oh, and one more thing on the weather. As I identified, I'm sitting right down the street from all of this in Florida this morning, and if it makes you feel any better, the temperature yesterday morning when I got out of bed here in the west central Florida region was 33 degrees. Have a nice day. I first worked with Bill Maher back in about 1985, I think it was, at the Westport Playhouse. And I remember thinking to myself, he's really funny, but he's so unpleasant to be around. He's just one of those guys that doesn't seem to have any endearing qualities. And I worked with so many of these entertainers. I mean, hundreds of them over the last, 37 years now. Most of them are real nice. You know, they're front people, you know, the public relations people and managers and stuff like that. Those are the ones that are tough to deal with, and a lot of them aren't very nice. But when you finally clear through that and you get to the actual star, the comedian, the singer, whatever it is, the actor, those people are generally pretty nice. There are some exceptions. Bill Maher, one of them. He's just not a pleasant guy to be around. But at the same time, I've loved all of his shows, going back to his stand-up and then Politically Incorrect on ABC, and he gets fired from that, goes over to HBO, and he's been there for almost, I think, 20 years now, doing real time on Friday nights, and I've always said it. And we've had him on the air, and you have to tiptoe around, you know? It's like walking on broken glass. You really have to be careful what you say to the guy and how you say it. He's one of those guys who will take something. He's like Linda Ronstadt was. Huge Linda Ronstadt fan, and yet interviewing her was one of the most difficult things ever because both she and he will take something that you say really sort of innocuous and go, well, what do you mean by that? And you're like, take it easy. It was a compliment. Oh, but I guess it is possible to like somebody's work and not necessarily like them. And over the course of the last year or so, and again, I've been very complimentary to Bill Maher. He was the guy that told former Attorney General Eric Holder well in advance of the last presidential election that if Trump loses, he's not leaving. And Eric Holder just laughed that off. And it's like, he wasn't saying it to be funny. And look what happened. He was absolutely right. And I've been saying this for years, that our comedians, in a lot of cases, are doing the work that our journalists should be doing. But that discussion is maybe for another day. But what's been happening, and maybe you've noticed this too, I don't know, but Bill Maher is becoming more and more insufferable. And one of the things that they're doing now is they're packing the audience with plants. You know, people who work on the staff, friends of people working the staff, just, you know, whatever the case may be. And they put these people in there, and when a joke is dying, you'll hear in the audience people going, woo! Almost like prompting the audience, like, hey, you're supposed to be laughing. And that's an old show business trick, old as the hills, but it's also really frowned upon. If your material is good enough, and in the case of comedy, if the jokes are funny, people are going to laugh. And if they're not laughing, somebody needs to explain to Bill Maher that it's not because there's something wrong with the audience. It means there's something wrong with the joke. But he's so narcissistic that he's up there telling a joke. And if the people don't laugh or don't react the right way, he blames them. And like I just said, to exacerbate the whole problem, now they got cheerleaders in the audience so that when a joke starts dying, there's like 10 or 12 people you can hear hooting and hollering in the background. And I'm telling you something, I'm getting really tired of it. He's going to ruin his whole damn show. Howard Hessman, Dr. Johnny Fever, passed away over the weekend. He was also on Head of the Class. He was 81 years old. He was one of those guys that long before improv in places like the Groundlings. and Second City and stuff like that really became well known. He was one of those guys at the very beginning of that whole improv thing. Nick Cannon. Now, you got to feel sorry for this guy because, you know, one of his kids just died of cancer. He's like 5 years old or something like that. And that's very, very sad. And at the same time, this guy must be making a lot of money to support all these baby mamas, all right? He's expecting another child, this time with Johnny Manziel's ex-wife. And if that's true, that's going to be his fifth baby mama, and the child will be his eighth. Now, while that's going on, Kanye West is telling people that Pete Davidson is gay and has AIDS. Pure class, pure class. What was the most played rock band on radio last year? I will tell you, and I'm talking about all around the world, what rock band got the most radio airplay last year, beating out people like Ed Sheeran, Dua Lipa, The Weeknd, you know, all that pop and hip-hop and rap stuff, and then Ed Sheeran, whatever you want to call what he does? Answer, Queen. Queen, the most played rock band on radio last year all over the world, and now you know. Janet Jackson still will not cop to this whole quote-unquote wardrobe malfunction, which it was not. It was rehearsed. It was planned that way. They've been lying to us about this for 20 years. They're still lying, even as Janet Jackson says she advised Justin Timberlake not to say anything after their 2004 wardrobe malfunction. She also says her brother Michael would never have molested children. And by the way, she's doing a lot of TV specials and stuff like that. She looks like shit, but I'll tell you, I like brunettes and redheads and strawberry blondes and stuff like that. I've just never really been a fan of blondes. Out of all the women in my entire life that I ever dated, I would say probably 10% or less are blondes. I got nothing against you if you're a blonde. It's just that I have a type. I've been accused of having a type. But over the years, one of the true exceptions was Bridget Fonda. Oh my gosh. She was in Single White Female. She was in Doc Hollywood with Michael J. Fox and Woody Harrelson. She was in a bunch of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And I had a chance to interview her for a Cameron Crowe movie called Singles, which didn't do very well, so a lot of people may not even remember it. But I did get a chance to interview her for that movie, face-to-face, out in Los Angeles. And she was just as pretty and knockout beautiful and sweet and sort of funny and everything like that. I'm not trying to be mean with this, but go online and punch in the name Bridget Fonda. You don't even have to put anything else in, because this story has just overwhelmed everybody. You will not believe what this woman looks like right now. And they have pictures side by side. You will not believe your eyes. There are even some people who are insisting that this picture is not her. It is her. It's been supported by numerous and multiple news organizations. It's been confirmed it's her. Wait until you see this. John Mulaney out of rehab, freshly divorced, remarried, and the baby daddy of Olivia Munn. He's had an interesting year, hasn't he? He'll be hosting Saturday Night Live for the fifth time coming up on February 26th. What are we going to do about the Spotify situation involving Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Nils Lofgren, and they're saying now Foo Fighters might be joining in on this too, of this, I guess you would say, a boycott. They're just basically saying, don't use our music. You have made a decision between integrity and Joe Rogan, and we don't want to be a part of it. So take our music off your streaming service. And some people are like, censorship, I'm against censorship. It's not censorship. Censorship is when a governing body, usually the United States government, when a governing body comes along and decides that you can't hear something or that you can't see something. That's not what this is. But again, anti-social media taking over. And then Kid Rock, of course, will not be playing at any venues that require vaccines or mask mandates on his upcoming tour. And oh, good. Look, Tucker Carlson is sending a camera crew to document the tour. Fabulous. And speaking of Saturday Night Live, when she performed When I'm Gone on SNL over the weekend, she had dancing mushrooms. And some people are saying, hey, Katie, you're trying to get away with something here, because I'm not sure those looked like mushrooms. It looked like something else. We'll have to go back and look at the recording if you still have it. All right, birthdays today. Justin Timberlake, 41. Bobby Moynihan, formerly of SNL, 45. I used to love his characters on Weekend Update. Drunk Uncle. Oh, my God. I love that. And then I forget the other guy's name, but he was like the Tony Soprano type character, like a guy from New Jersey. He was always looking over his shoulder and getting stories wrong, but he was convinced he was right. Those were some really, really good characters. He's 45 today. Kerry Washington from Scandal, 45, a handsome female. Portia de Rossi, otherwise known as Mrs. Ellen DeGeneres, 49 today. Minnie Driver, 52. Anthony LaPaglia, the star of one of my all-time favorite movies called 29th Street. If you ever get a chance to see this movie, oh my gosh. And as you're watching it, especially towards the middle, you might be thinking to yourself, why is JC so crazy about this movie? I'm telling you, stick with the movie till the end. Stick with the movie till the end. He was originally chosen to play Tony Soprano. HBO came along and said, Anthony, we got your gig. And Anthony LaPaglia turned them down. And James Gandolfini took over from there, and the rest is history, as they say. Johnny Rotten, 66 today. Harry Casey, Casey and the Sunshine Band, 71. Nolan Ryan, old school, did it all legitimately, 75 today. I remember this back in 1961. I was a little kid, and Ham the Chimp, first animal sent into space. He went up 157 miles. They brought him down. They just wanted to make sure that a mammal could survive whatever the space program had in store for actual human beings. He was on the cover of Life magazine, Ham the Chimp. And if you're a regular listener to the radio shows, the podcasts that I've been involved in for the last 35, 37 years, whatever it is, you'll recall that back in 1976, 46 years ago today, Terry Bradshaw launched a short-lived country music career with the release of I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Terry?
1976, Terry Bradshaw put out an album called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Lonesome I Could Cry.
Can you give me a couple of bars of the big hit?
Sure.
The last word in lonesome is me.
The last word in lonesome is me. The last word in lonesome is me. My heart is as lonely as a heart can be lonely. The last word in lonesome is me.
Who yelled encore? Don't do this.
You didn't think I'd do that, did you?
You ever get the idea that guys like Terry Bradshaw are enjoying life on a level that none of us have discovered yet? Oh, and by the way, all the bullshit has started with the big game. You can't say Super Bowl. You know, you can't say Super Bowl. You got to say the big game. You hear it in television commercials, networks, whatever. It's because the Super Bowl cashes in by saying, okay, you want to be the official beer of the Super Bowl, you want to be the official potato chips of the Super Bowl, you want to be the official car of the Super Bowl, whatever it is, fine, you can do that. You just send us that check for $30 million and it's yours. So these companies, these corporations, really, really pay out huge amounts of money to be able to be officially sanctioned by the NFL to be able to say, we are the official blah, blah, blah of the Super Bowl. And what the NFL does as part of their agreement with these big shot sponsors is they say, if anybody else tries to use the words Super Bowl in the 2 weeks leading up to the big game, we will go after them with our lawyers and we will squash them like a bug. You know what I say? It's the fucking Super Bowl. Come get me. Did I mention that the Schnucks Panic Aisle is officially open? We'll have this whole thing much better fine-tuned by tomorrow morning at this time. Looks like the fun begins late tomorrow night when it starts as rain, eventually flips over to freezing rain and ice and then snow. And then it gets really interesting from there. Like I said, based on what we see so far, a minimum of 4 inches is likely. And then it just starts getting into crazy land when you start talking about the potential for ridiculous, just absolutely absurd amounts of snow. Somebody across the region, as I mentioned earlier, is going to get clobbered. And by this time tomorrow morning, we should have a pretty good idea of who that is. And thanks to everybody who sent me notes last night and this morning going, oh, let me tell you, the Schnucks Panic Aisle is open before you even got to it, because I went shopping today and you wouldn't even believe it. The store shelves are practically bare and people are stocking up because they're fearful of being trapped without bread and milk, because everybody knows that if you soak bread in milk and then put it under your tires, you get really good traction. And here we go again with Art Hill and all the fun, but Wednesday looks like the day that you might not have to go to work or school. Well, JC, I haven't gone to work or school because I've been working from my house for the last 2 years. So that's one of those things that's a new dynamic in the American workforce. Whereas in the past, a big snowstorm like this would result in all sorts of people having to call in saying, I can't get to work. And now, with this enormous percentage of the American workforce been working from home now for a couple of years, not going to impact anybody at all, at least as far as the workforce is concerned. Yes, it's a changing world we live in. And that's it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Monday, January 31st, 2022, 283 days remaining in our American system of government as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning at about 7 o'clock. It's absolutely free. We archive everything right here on the website. Email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. It's the calm before the storm. Enjoy, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.